You know, our words are containers. They carry power of life or death. But they're containers. Every word you speak is a container that contains something. And after it's out, it's like an arrow that's released. It's out there. And you can't just grab it and pull it back. There's power in our words. Psalms 107, verse 20. Adam was created. While you're turning there, Adam was created by a word. Actually, in Genesis, in most of our translations, it says, "Let there be light." But the actual word that God said is light be, man be, just be. Not let there be, but be. Just a word that was sent forth. We are created to rule as king and queens with our words. The last thing Jesus did in Matthew and Mark was say, "All authority has been given to me. Now you go." How did Jesus rule and reign when he was on earth? By his words. He spoke things forth. Amen? Mm-hmm. We are Christians. That means we are Christ-like. We're supposed to rule and reign and operate the same way Jesus did. By our words. Psalms 107, 20. It says, "He sent his word." Everybody say, "His word." His word. He sent us his word. Oh, that's glorious. That's powerful. The word that created heaven, the words that created the universe, that created every neutron, proton in your body, that word is the same word that he created and sent to us. He gave us his word. That means that that word is a container of power. Amen? He gave us that word. And he says, "He sent his word and healed them." And healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I looked up the word truth. We were just singing a song, "I Trust You, Lord." And I looked up in some of the dictionaries as well as in Greek and Hebrew on what trust and truth really meant. One of the translations says absolute integrity. Truth, absolute integrity. The word of God is absolute integrity. It does not change. It's powerful. It says it's wholeness, perfect condition. It's honest, entire. It's accurate. He sent us his word that is truth, that is accurate and absolute. It's absolute. We must believe the word, but we must do it. Amen? Say, "I'm a doer." I'm a doer of the word of God that he sent me and healed me. So as a doer, what does that mean? You have the word that was sent forth to heal. Amen? Say, "I'm a doer." Turn over to John 14. See, we need to meditate on the word because that word has power in it. And as we meditate on it and we speak it forth, it builds up our spirit. And we get that power manifesting through our lives. Amen? We've got to meditate on it. That word has the power of creation. It has the word of life. It has the power of resurrection. It's authoritative. His word is authoritative. There's no doubt in it. When he speaks it forth, it is authority. Amen? Everybody at John 14? Let's look at verse 6 in John 14. I'm not there yet. John 14, verse 6. And it says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way." The what? Way. I am the way. I am the truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. But he is the way. He is the truth. He is the absolute integrity of the Word of God. Amen? It has no manipulation in it. His word has no manipulation, no deception. It's not like half of our news channels that have manipulation or slanted perspectives. If God says you're healed or you're prosperous, then what's it up to? You to be a doer of the word. You to receive it and stand on it. Amen? His word is absolute integrity. Let's jump down. We're in 14. Let's switch over a few pages to John 17. John 17. Verse 17. Sanctify them by your what? By your truth. Your what? Your word is truth. He sent us His word, which is truth, and healed us. His word is truth. If it's truth, it's God. If it's not, it's like the Uncola. Anybody remember what the old Uncola commercials are? The old 7-Up commercials? Uncola means there's no cola in it, right? You can see through it. It's clear. It's pristine. Well, His word is truth. And if there's truth in it, it's God. If it's not in complete, absolute integrity of truth, it's like the Uncola. I mean, it's like the cola. It's got things in it that are not of God. Amen? So your words need to be words of truth. And what is truth? It has to line up with this, doesn't it? If your words don't line up with what's here, you're like a cola. I'm not speaking against Coke. I'm giving an example, right? Truth has no manipulation in it. It sanctifies. That means sets apart. We may be of this world, but we are supposed to be set apart from it. Why? Because we know the truth. We have the truth living in us, right? That word separates. It sanctifies. It delivers us. It heals us. It breaks down strongholds, right? It's alive. It's powerful. Amen? So we've got the truth. We know the truth. But how do we put it to and activate that power in our lives? We have to put it to work, right? We have to act on the word, right? Faith without works is dead. Faith without actions is dead. You have to act on the word. So how do we act on the word? If you would, let's turn over to one of the first steps, Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Well, let's back up. Let's start off with verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written. Sent means called, anointed. The anointing opens up your ears and people's minds to hear. He says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Say, I believe the report of the Lord. I believe the report of the Lord. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One of the translations says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing the word. So one of the things you've got to do is get that word in your ears. Build up that faith. Build it up. As you build up that faith, that's one of the first steps in acting on the word. If you don't believe something, you don't speak it forth. You don't do it. Right? If I don't believe that, you know, the water's warm, I'm probably not just going to jump in. Right? So if you're going to jump into the river of life, you've got to believe that it is the river of life. Right? Amen. So you've got to believe the word that is the truth. Period. End of statement. It is the absolute truth of the Most High God. Amen? Faith. Your words have to be according to God's word. As you speak the word, you're built up. So what are you decreeing? Are you decreeing he's strong? He looks strong? I'm strong? Are you decreeing he looks weak? She looks weak? What are you speaking over yourself or over somebody else? You're supposed to decree this word, right? This word is what you're supposed to be decreeing. I am strong. Everybody say, I'm strong in the Lord.
I am strong in the Lord.
It's like your tongue. Your tongue is very important. If you read Proverbs, throughout Proverbs, it talks over and over and over again about the tongue. There's power, life, and death in what? Your tongue. Your tongue is like a rudder of a big ship. You know why your tongue is so important? Just like the rudder of a big ship? If God can get control over your tongue, He can get control over where your destiny is. If you control your tongue, because it's your tongue, it controls your destiny. It's like flying a plane. You may head off and take off out of Branson heading west because of the winds. But if you're heading, if you need to head east, what do you need to do? You need to turn, right? You need to take control of the yoke and turn that plane. Well, sometimes our words that we've been saying are headed in the wrong direction. And we need to take control over this thing right here and grab it and keep control over it. Amen? We control our destiny by what comes out of our mouth. Amen? And notice that if you take off heading west and you've got to go east, the first change you make is a drastic change. It's 180 degrees, right? But then as you're going somewhere, the winds take you. You know, you may be in a boat and it starts to float you downstream, but you've got smaller adjustments. But at first it may seem awkward, but you've got to take that strong step and renew your mind. Be careful of every word that comes out of your mouth. Amen. Let's turn over to Proverbs 3:5. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not or trust not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Everything you do, when it says acknowledge Him, everything you do, it doesn't matter if it's decisions, actions, whatever, get God involved. He will never leave you astray. His word is truth and it's going to direct you to the final place. It's going to take you to victory. Amen? Trust in the Lord. The word trust here in Hebrew is the word batak. That means refuge. Take refuge in the Lord. It means bold. Be bold in the Lord. Whenever you speak things forth, if you're trusting in the things of God and you're trusting in His Word, be bold in it. Right? Anybody ever watch that show that's been on for a little while where I think it's called Smarter Than a 5-Year-Old or something? Anybody ever see any of that? Fifth grader. And I saw that the other day and something hit me. I watched a few minutes of it. And there was a Marine on there and he got a couple questions right. And boy, whenever he answered it and he knew the answer, he was just bold. Yes. Right? 5 + 5 = 10, period. But then he got to a couple questions that he didn't quite know about. He wasn't very bold about them. He wanted to look off of the little fifth grader's answers. Well, wait a minute. What sheet are you looking off of? Do you trust in the Lord or are you bold? Or are you wanting to look off of other reports? What report are you listening to and looking at? Are you looking at the report of a doctor? Or are you looking at the report of the Most High God? Amen? But if you're looking at the report of the Most High God and you are trusting in Him, you are bold in Him. Bold, amen? Say, I'm bold.
I'm bold.
It says that it also means confident, secure. You're sure in it. It means you're carefree. You don't care because you know the Word. In other words, you aren't carrying that as a burden. You've cast it off because you know that His Word is truth. Amen? His Word is truth. God cannot lie, amen? The words we speak will produce. If we're speaking this, we're ambassadors, right? So if we're speaking this as an ambassador of the Most High God, is it supposed to work? Is it going to work the same way as if God Himself said it? If we are trusting in Him. But if we're not confident in it, and we're not bold in it, we've got doubt, then that thief comes in. The thief of unbelief, and he will come in and he will take things from you. He will destroy you in your mind. Where's the battle? It's right here between your ears, right? Right here on your tongue. If you would, you're close to it. Let's turn over to Isaiah 55. The words we speak produce. We're Christ-like, right? We already covered that. So if we are Christ-like, did Jesus ever waver? Did He ever speak anything of doubt? Did He ever question anything that He was told to do from our Heavenly Father? No, He didn't. Isaiah 55, let's look at verse 11. 55 verse 11. 55:11 says, so shall my what? My word that goes forth from what?
My mouth.
My mouth, my tongue, right? It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Say, the word is prospering in my life. The word is working in my life. It is powerful.
It is mighty.
It will not be defeated. It's working in my life. See, your words have great power. They're either working for you or against you. But they are working. They're either working for you or against you. Have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to move something fairly large and you've got a couple people helping you, and one's trying to pick it up this way and the other one's trying to tilt it the other way, and it's real awkward because in reality one's trying to tilt one way and one's trying to tilt the other way? Well, that's against the laws of physics. And you're actually making it harder for yourself, and it's working against you. The word never is supposed to work against you. Your word is supposed to be according to God's word, which is truth, right? So make sure your words are working for you to the victory according to the word. See, if Satan can get you to say things that are not according to the word, oh, he's got a foothold in, and he can manipulate, he can start creating doubt, right? And you've just given him into a place where he doesn't need to be. His words. Let's turn over to John. John chapter 6. John 6, 63. I'm going to back up to, let's start off with 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained, they were grumbling about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What men, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The Spirit quickens. He quickened your mortal body. He quickened your spirit. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So your flesh is fatiguing. It breaks down. But what he speaks to us is in our spirit, and it's life and it's truth. It's powerful. So we need to be speaking the same words that he speaks. Amen? It is truth. It is truth. There's three things to help identify whether or not you're speaking forth in the flesh or in the spirit. Nothing that attacks you, that comes to kill, steal, and destroy you, according to John 10, is of God. Right. So first of all, are your words, are they glorifying the carnality and Satan, or are they glorifying God? So one thing for you to do is test, is God getting glory out of what am I saying? If you're speaking forth, I'm quickened, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yes. That gives God glory. You're speaking forth His word. Amen? The second thing is, where is the Spirit? Where the Spirit is, there's liberty. The word says that He came and set us free. He set the captives free. So are you feeling that freedom? Is everything that you're speaking forth, is it a freedom? Is it of peace and is it of power? See, everything that we do is supposed to be according to the word. It edifies, it builds up. Amen? It comforts, it strengthens, it quickens. Amen? We're over here in John chapter 6, but I want to back up over to Matthew 8. See, Jesus has already spoken the word. He says, I speak unto you words of life and spirit, right? That word of life overtakes death. It overtakes sickness. It overtakes poverty. Amen? It's a word of life. Say, I'm a receiver of the word of life. Your words are very powerful. But whenever you speak words, you need to act as well. I remember reading a book by Dodie Osteen, Healed of Cancer. And when Dodie received a report of cancer, She refused to go back to the doctor. She said, "Your word says I'm healed." She acted on it. Anytime people would ask her how she felt, "I'm strong. I'm healed." Amen. Anytime somebody tries to ask you, "I'm strong. I'm healed." Yeah, you are. You're strong in the power of His might. Amen. What are you speaking over yourselves and over other people? Healed people act healed. They act healed. She didn't go home and go to bed. She went home and started cleaning her house regardless how she felt. How are you acting? Are you letting the enemy come in and change your behavior? Because healed people in faith act healed. Amen? Matthew 8:8. It's about the centurion. Remember the centurion? Oh man, this guy had faith. I like him. Great faith. Matthew 8:8. It says, I start off with verse 7. It says, "And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him." Jesus never said, "I won't." He never said, "Not now." Never once did he say, "I won't heal you." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak." What? The word. "Speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Speak the word. I looked up a couple other translations for this. First of all, for him to say, "Just speak a word, don't come and lay hands on him. You just speak the word," that's great faith. Matthew 8:8 in the Living Bible says, "If you will only stand here and say, 'Be healed,' my servant will get well." In the Knox translations, "If thou wilt only speak a word of command." We talked about truth being authoritative, right? Speak a word of truth, speak a command with authority. We already discussed how we're supposed to be. We are kings and queens, right? Well, the other thing about this is the servant was submitted to his leader, allowing his leader to go and intercede for the servant. The centurion was submitted to Jesus and honored Jesus, allowing Jesus to work on behalf of the request of the centurion. Are you submitted to your spiritual authority to do whatever they speak over you that's lined up with the Word? You need to make sure that you are submitted to the people that God has put you under. It can hold you back. That rebellion can hold you back. Sometimes you may have had a leader that dealt with you on something. Don't let offense come in. Offense can hold you back. It will hold you back from your prosperity, your healing. Amen? At one time, I was under an attack. And I had a choice of doing what the doctor said or doing what the people that I was under in a spiritual position said. And they were in different directions. Anybody ever notice that? A lot of times what the medical profession, now I respect their knowledge and their experience. Which one are you going to do? Make sure the fact that you are submitted to the spiritual people that God has put you under. That's your spiritual covering, amen? We're in Matthew 8. Let's jump down to verse 16. "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with what? With his word." With a word. And healed who? All who were sick. Say, "I'm all." "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'In himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses.'" With a word, he cast out demons. And we already discovered that he sent his word, right? To you. And that word healed, right? Remember Psalms, whenever we start up Psalms 107:20? "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." He sent his word. Say, I'm a fighter. See, whenever you have attack against the enemy, you've got to be a doer of the word according to James 4:7. You have to resist the enemy and he will flee. You have to resist him. So, Dodie Osteen resisted. She said, "I'm healed and I'm going to act like I'm healed. I'm not going to go back to the doctors. I'm going to trust. on the authoritative word of the Most High God. His word is true, amen? So she stood on it, and she's had an awesome life. She's doing well. It's football season, right? Well, in football, you've got four quarters, maybe in overtime. Most sports, there's a time limit or a number of innings or whatever. Well, see, we're running a race, right? And in natural, most races have a mile, 30-yard dash, whatever it may be. And then there's an end to it. Do you want to know where the end is whenever you're in a race over healing? When you get the victory. There's not four quarters. There's not nine innings. There's not 50-yard dash. Because he says, I always cause you to triumph. So until you have received, you keep running. You keep fighting. You keep resisting. Until. It doesn't stop until you receive. Say, I'm a receiver.
I'm a fighter.
Amen. Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 5. I like the word. Anybody like the word? It was sent to us. Precious. The creator of heaven and earth. Out of all the things he could give us, he sent us his word. The word was made flesh, wasn't it? He sent us Jesus. He sent us his word. It's powerful. It's awesome. Matthew 5 verse 15. It says, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to what? To hear. What were they hearing? The word. Jesus was preaching the word, right? And to be healed for their infirmities. What's the first thing they did? They heard the word. Why? Because faith cometh by
hearing,
hearing and hearing by the word. See, that's why you need to be in the Word, meditating on the Word all the time. Day and night. That's right. That's right. In the Living, it says, now the report of His power spread even faster. The report of His what?
Power.
His power. We already discussed that the words are carriers, right, of power. So they heard the report of the truth, the report of His Word, the report of the power through His Word, right? And then it goes on to say, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. Jesus preached first. Why? To build up their faith. To build up their faith so that they can receive. Say, I'm a receiver. Don't speak in doubt. If you would, turn to Job 2, and I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you while you're turning there. In Exodus chapter 16. Remember that Moses was leading all the Hebrews, and they grumbled and spoke against him. And God said, how dare them speak against me? God took it personally, right? It wasn't just against Moses. They were not submitted to the leadership that they were under. The anointed person that God put there, they spoke against him, and God took it as, you spoke against me. In Mark chapter 9, it says, he answered him and said, O faithless generation. Say, I'm not of the faithless generation.
I'm not of the faithless generation.
I'm of a faithful generation.
I'm of a faithful generation.
It says, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here. Come here. That'd be like a mom or a dad. And they're kind of frustrated with their little kid. All right, come over here. Just get over here. Right? Oh, faithless generation. And he's talking about his own disciples. Bring over here. Come on. We'll take care of it. But he's frustrated because they were given the authority to do it. They had seen many, many examples of how it was done. Amen? We are supposed to operate according to his word. King David. Oh, man, he was a man of faith, wasn't he? Oh, what a major man of faith. You remember whenever he went out to Goliath? Whenever he went out to Goliath, what did he say? You uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't call him a giant. He didn't call him a warrior. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. And how many rocks did he pick up? Why would a guy pick up rocks, multiple rocks, whenever you're within 40 yards of each other? Yeah, it's like the old muskets. Remember how they used to have to pack them? You know, and the guys would take a shot and they'd get down, and 3 minutes later they'd come back up for another shot. By then their enemy is, you know, 30 yards closer. Well, by the time you take out a rock, you put it in there and line up again, a big man can be an awful close distance, right? So why did he pick up all these rocks? Because he knew, first of all, if the first one didn't kill him, the second one would. The other thing was that if your brothers come up after I take you out, I'll take them out too. Right? He went in with the intent that I'll take you out and anybody else that comes up to back you. He was a man of faith. Whenever you're in a fight, you're ready to fight till the end, are you not? Come on, bring it on. Any more of you want to deal with me? We'll take you all out. That's the way we're supposed to be. You see, sometimes the enemy will come in and he'll attack a body. And he'll attack one thing, but there's all these symptoms going on around it. Right? You need to attack and shut down every one of them from operating in your life. Right? Be ready to fight no matter how many of them come against you. Amen? Say, I'm a fighter. Everybody at Job 2? Anybody ever call into work, call in sick, play hooky? No need to raise hands. Most people have done it. Right? It's basically a lie. It is a lie, right? Most people have called in hooky and went fishing or hunting or, you know, ridden a motorcycle or, you know, something of that nature. That's deception. It's not truth. God's not in it, right? So in Job chapter 2, let's look at verse 7. It says, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils. Who struck Job? Satan struck him. For the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. Job was trying to cut off boils with a sharp blade, trying to cut them off his body. Can you imagine the pain, the bleeding, digging boils out? I mean, you ever see somebody with a boil and they even touch it? And they cringe. And he's trying to cut them off his body. They're ugly. They itched. Then his wife said to him, you still hold fast to your what?
Integrity.
We already learned that the word said that truth was absolute integrity. So you still hold fast to your truth. Your family can be a hindrance. Friends can be a hindrance to you. You have to be careful who you're around and what you listen to. And he says, curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Even in that attack and with family trying to influence him, he did not sin with his lips. He did not speak forth. Job had integrity, right? He didn't have the Old Testament and the New Testament written down, but he knew God's ways. He knew God's ways. We should know God's ways. Amen? So Job feared God. Earlier in the scripture, it talks about Job fearing God. One of the first things it says is that Job was an upright man who shunned evil and feared God. Whatever is not of faith doesn't please God, right? Hebrews 11:6. He pleased God. He was a man of faith, right? And he was under attack. Say, I'm a man or woman of faith.
I'm a woman of faith.
I know the ways of God. Turn over to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 20. We got a good God, don't we?
Absolutely.
We don't play hooky, do we? No. We keep our word. We're doers of the word. You know, if we start lying, we start getting to the point where we don't believe what we're saying because we know our words are full of deception. So how can we have power, the authoritative power of God, when we speak His word whenever we don't believe what we're saying part of the time? Your tongue, and you speak in absolute truth, is very important. It can wear down your trust and belief in the word of God. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Anybody ever heard of a situation where a doctor says you're going to die, or you got a few days, or it's terminal? Same type of thing, right? You're going to die. But let's continue on. He says, then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in what? In truth. He walked before him according to the word of God. He walked according to absolute integrity. Amen. With a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. Our God is a good God, right? The word says that all his ways are goodness. So he walked in the ways of God, right? So he walked in the ways of God. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle of the court that the what? The word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. So he gets healing. He gets a longevity of life, another 15 years. I will deliver you. He gets deliverance in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. So they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Take a lump of figs? That doesn't sound normal, does it? Doesn't sound like something that in our mind and wisdom that we should do. But our ways are not his ways. Just because you're told by medical science or somebody else to do something, you've got to hear from God. Does it line up from the word? Do you have a confirmation in your spirit on what you're doing? Sometimes it's going to be totally against what the world would say. So he took it and laid it on a boil, and he recovered. Hezekiah lived a righteous life. God never said, no, not now, or no, I won't heal you, right? Jesus said, I'm willing. I will. I'm willing. Say, he's willing. It's his will that I be healed. He has already bought and paid for my healing. He's already done it. It's already been bought and paid for. It's up to us to receive it. We have to act in faith and receive it. Say, I'm a receiver.
I'm a receiver.
Hezekiah had to obey and take an act of faith. What was his act of faith? Going forth and putting the fig leaves on himself. Faith without acts or faith without works is dead. He had to act on it, right? Jesus, the first miracle he did. Anybody remember it? Turning water into wine. What did his mother say to the people, servants around? Whatever he says, do it. Have faith in it. Act on it. Do it. Amen. Say, I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
I'm a doer of the word of God.
I'm a doer of the word of God.
You may have missed it at some time. You may have not spoke truth. You may have spoke things that were not of truth over your life, over other people's lives, things of doubt and unbelief, right? But, oh glory. See, anything before that word but is canceled out or can be canceled out. So even if you have done things that position you against what God's word says, we got a God of mercy, amen?
Amen.
Says he's the God of all mercies. Oh, he's a God of compassions and mercies. Turn over to Hebrews 11:11. And then we're going to go to Genesis as well. We're going to switch back and forth so you can get both of those. Hebrews chapter 11. It's a great faith chapter, amen? So we're going to go Hebrews 11:11. And then Genesis, we'll start off at Genesis 12. In 11:11, it says, by what? By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. And she bore a child, and when she passed the age, because she judged him what?
Faithful
who had promised. See, when God promises something, it's integrity, it's truth. We have the promises of God, and we're supposed to stand on those, right? Let's switch back over to Genesis chapter 12. So something obviously had to happen there, because if we look at Genesis chapter 12, First of all, let's establish the kind of the lifestyle that she led. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, in verse 2 it says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. This was said to Abram, right? Who became Abraham. Well, I don't know about most families here, but I know that if the Lord is richly blessing me, my wife has some recollection and some idea that I'm being blessed. So do you think that Sarah knew that they were getting rich, that they were getting wealthy, that they were being blessed? Of course she knew, right? So she knew that God had said, I will make you a great nation, right? Let's turn over to to chapter 13, verse 2. Verse 2, and it says, Abraham was rich in livestock and silver and in gold. He was rich in material things, right? So Sarah had to see the power of the manifestation of the goodness of God work according to his word, right? So she had been around and see God deliver in miraculous ways. Would you agree? Okay, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 16. Verse 2. So Sarai said to Abram, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice. She wasn't spirit-led, right? She didn't have a vision of the things of God. She believed God could prosper them financially. But did she have the belief that God could bring her forth a baby at that age? Did she have that faith? Okay, let's jump on down to verse 16, or chapter 18. And let's look at verses 13 and 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? She laughed at the word. Don't laugh at the word. Don't mock the word. So she laughed at the word. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that is no. Nothing is, say, nothing's too hard for my God. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. She was afraid, and she said, no. And he said, no, but you did laugh. She was trying to be technical. It was in my heart. I didn't actually laugh out loud. She laughed in her heart. It's not about being technical. Right. It's about that absolute truth, yes, and integrity without any manipulation. And God corrected her right then, right? Absolute integrity into the Word of God. So what happened? Obviously, there had to be something that happened because she's in the great faith chapter. See, even if you have missed it and you've said things that are against your healing, yes, over your life, oh boy, you can get it right. Amen. You can change and you can be in the extensions of the faith people. Say, I'm a faith person. I'm a faith person. Nothing's too hard for my God. In the Rotherham version, it says, seeing that faithful, she reckoned him that. Hence, seeing that he was faithful, well, she obviously saw that he was faithful in things. Look how prosperous they were. God said, go, and didn't even give him a direction at that point in time. And they saw how he was faithful. Amen. The Moffat translation says, because she considered that she could rely on him who gave the promise. She could rely on him. She could have trust in him who gave the promise. The promise is part of the word of God, isn't it? He spoke it forth. She can rely on it. Say, I can rely on the word of God. I trust in the word. I honor the word. If you would stand to your feet, would you come up and start to play? His word is absolute integrity. His word is truth. It's power. Amen? Say, I have truth working in my life. The word was sent and healed me. By the word of God, I receive my healing. I'm a receiver.
For additional teaching materials, write to Final Quest Ministries at P.O. Box 6456, Branson, Missouri, zip code 65615, or call toll-free at 1-888-685-8358. To learn more about Mike and Shara Canaday and Final Quest Ministries, check out their website at www.fqmin.org.